Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, the privilege to be here tonight in this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, come, speak to our hearts. Use our preacher. Help us to listen, Lord. Change our lives, Lord. We love you. Thank you for what you do for us. Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. This is lesson number 3 on soul winning. Next week will be the last, and then I'm going to jump into a new series for us. But tonight, I'm excited. I could probably teach a whole series on this topic alone tonight. I'm not going to. I'm going to hit some highlights and be done with it. I mentioned it to several preacher friends of mine, and I had a couple preachers that said, "Man, that's a good Bible study. I'm going to steal that." And I said, "Good. I know you're not going to do it tonight, so I don't care." And I'm excited about this, and probably a topic that most don't think about. And I think that it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I have said before, the gospel does not change. People have gotten saved since man was created and fell in sin. They've all gotten the same way, by grace through faith. I didn't write that, God did. Nobody ever got saved by the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law never saved anyone.
That's right.
And it never has, it never will. I hit recently, I think it was last week, about times and denominationalism and dispensations. There's no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. That's nothing but a bunch of denominational fertilizer, manure, junk. There's no such thing. None of the laws of the Old Testament, whether they be civil laws, whether they be moral laws, or whether they were Levitical laws, none of those laws had anything to do with going to heaven. Not a one of them. So the law never did save anybody. It showed man his need for salvation. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about Jesus, the soul winner. Jesus, the soul winner. Take your Bible, John chapter 4. I'm going to read a fairly lengthy passage, and we're going to use our Bibles tonight. I may or may not read a lot more scripture. I may refer to it depending on time, but here we go. We're going to start in verse 5. Don't get mad at me, but we're going to read through verse 30. All right, some of you are going to get your chapter Bible reading in for the day. All right, verse number 5. Then cometh he, that's meaning Jesus, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink," for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou art that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, 'I have no husband,' for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship my Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall not worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice that. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I am, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Then the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now skip down to verse number 39. Ready? And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. That's in reference to the lady we just read about, right? Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow. Jesus, of course, is always the greatest example. Jesus does not tell us to do something, A, that we cannot do, and B, that he has not already done himself. You know, Jesus modeled everything we're supposed to do as Christians. That's how I know speaking in tongues, like the charismatics do it, isn't right, because Jesus never spoke in tongues. Jesus never commanded us to do something that he did not do or he could not do himself. Now, he wanted us to be witnesses. He wanted us to be soul winners. He wanted us getting the gospel out. Remember, we said in our first lesson, the object of soul winning is to get the gospel out. We're not accountable for how people receive it. We're accountable for giving it out. Just like the mailman bringing your mail. He's not accountable for how many bills he dropped in your mailbox today. You're the one that created the bills. He's just delivering them. That's exactly what we are as soul winners. We are delivering the message of the gospel. Now, Jesus not only preached to groups of people, but he talked to individuals as a soul winner. Now, the message of the gospel is what gets people saved. Let me say that again. The message of the gospel is what gets people saved. It's not dependent on the messenger to be like Jesus. Now, the messenger will probably reach more people the more respected he is. The part of cleaning yourself up as a Christian is so that as you give the gospel, you're respectable enough where people will hear it. They'll believe you because you're living a certain lifestyle. If you're down at the bar drinking and you're half crocked and you lean over to your buddy and say, Hey, let me tell you how to go to heaven when you die. What's the chances of him believing you? Now, I believe it's happened. And I believe that that person hearing the gospel could get saved from a drunk. I know it's happened. I know somebody that it happened to. But may I say this, for every one of those, I'll show you 10,000 that wouldn't listen to him. Everybody doing okay? That doesn't give you the right to go out and get drunk. All right? I'm going somewhere. Hang on. The person who delivers the message can add credibility to it. But it's not the person that's delivering the message that gets people saved. It is the gospel that gets people saved. Amen. The message is far more important then the messenger.
Everybody look at me for a second. I've heard preachers, like you hear them on the radio all the time. If you listen to quote-unquote Christian radio, well, you got to have the right spirit. You got to have the right heart before you tell some, says who? That's nowhere in the Bible. Got a lady here that got saved. She had five husbands. She's living with another man. Went back into her hometown, told everybody about Jesus, brought everybody out to hear Jesus, and a whole bunch of people got saved because of one woman living in fornication. You think she stopped and prayed and got everything right?
No indication of that. Well, they got saved, but there's no fruit for us to know that they got saved. Well, who made you the fruit inspector? I know what we called a fruit a long time ago, and I don't want to be one, amen? For you younger people, that's LGBTQ, all right? Now, it's important that you understand the more credible the messenger, the more likely people are to listen to the message.
That's why this preacher isn't going to become a casual preacher, and our church isn't going to be a casual come as you are, come in your PJs place. I'm not going to wear a turtleneck sweater and sit down on a chair and give you a little sermonette with my Garth Brooks microphone from my ear to my mouth. And say, blessed be God.
Who's the cow dude in Texas? What's his name? Holstein. That's it, Joel Holstein. I keep thinking of him as a cow. I know he's down in Florida. It has something to do with cows. Holstein, amen? Joel Osteen kind of guy. I've got zero respect for that. You say, why? Because he's prostituting the gospel to make money. Now, here in John chapter 4, listen to me, Jesus is in Samaria. Now, Samaria was a hated place by the Jews. You read in verse number 9 there, she said, oh, why are you talking to me? Thought you were a Jew. You hate Samaritans. Samaritans were half Gentile, half Jew. They were, and this is not a good term, but I don't know else. They were kind of a half-breed of people, and nobody liked them. The Jews didn't like them, and the Gentiles didn't like them. They were just kind of their own little group of people, and they just were outcasts. The Bible talks about beware of dogs. It's in reference often to the Samaritans. It's just they weren't treated like humans almost. And here in John chapter 4, Jesus has been on a trip. The disciples are off getting food. He sits down at the well, and the Samaritan woman comes up. And you make an ugly woman. I can't use you. All right. And he comes. He says, he said, lady, would you get me a drink? Would you draw me some water so I could drink? Now, first of all, a Jew talking to a Samaritan in a kind way was very unusual. Second of all, a Jew would never ask a Samaritan to do anything because they were considered unclean and they wouldn't want anything from the Samaritan. And she said, what'd you ask me for? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. He said, well, if you would have asked me, I'd give you living water that once you drank of it, you'd never drink again. She said, where do I find that? Can you imagine having to draw water for all of your animals to drink from? And the Bible says it was a deep well. Imagine pulling a bucket up from a 100-foot well. You know how much a camel can in one. Imagine trying to fill up a whole herd of cattle or camels. That's a lot of, and that's a lot of work. I can imagine her thinking, if I could feed them camels some of that, I'd never have to draw any more water. Like, and we go through the story, and Jesus talks about water to this lady, and he likens it unto eternal life, and how that all she has to do is receive it, and she can go to heaven. By the way, she received it and got eternal life. Now, the lady was floored when Jesus would ask this unclean, worthless Samaritan to get him a drink. Jesus, in an effort to get her to understand the gospel, talked to her about water. It wasn't
Everybody listen to me. The water didn't represent anything. The water was what she was dealing with. Her job was water. He was using something she understood to lead into the gospel. Well, the water was in representation of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in the Bible that ever says that. And anybody that tells you that, they've been smoking something in Colorado, all right? Just not right. Now, Jesus wasn't speaking in some holier-than-thou language with the Samaritan. I'm sorry. Oops. Sorry about that. Some holy language where the Samaritan couldn't understand. I've been with people out so winning that tried to impress everybody with their spirituality. It used to be college boys, amen? You get these young guys that they were going to go out soul winning with one of the assistant pastors of the church and going to show these people how smart they were, knock on the door, and they start talking in language that not even God listens to. Lady, you need to get justified. You need to be redeemed. You need to be go and start using all these terms that are in the Bible, but how's a lost person going to understand any of that mess? And wonder why nobody got saved. I was with a guy one day. He started into that. I took about 30 seconds of it. And I couldn't take any more. This lady was about ready to shut the door. She was stepping back, and you could see the hand on the door. And I said, lady, hold it. And I said, excuse me, step back and shut up. He looked. He said, but I said, step back. I said, ma'am, I introduced myself. I said, he thinks he's something. He's nothing. Let me tell you what he wants to say, where you and I can both understand it, because he's talking way over both of our heads. She said, good, because I didn't understand one thing he said. I led that lady to Christ. Amen. She'd have died and gone to hell thinking soul winners were weird, because that one was. He said, you're supposed to be the silent partner. He said, you're supposed to talk where people can understand it. I said, you're expecting a lost person to understand biblical terminology and they've never even read the Bible. What are you talking about? Well, I didn't think about that. I said, yeah, key word, think. I said, you just step in behind me and follow me for a while. I wasn't being ugly. He was just talking way over their head. Jesus didn't do that with the Samaritan woman. Big words or religiosity. I had to look that word up because I didn't even know how to spell it. Holiness. I didn't ask my secretary. She was already gone. She just realized she needed Jesus. I can show you how Jesus did it through the story. He offered her eternal life. First thing he said is, why don't you go get your husband and we'll talk to you. I don't have a husband. He said, I know you don't. You've been married 5 times and the one you're with, you're not married to. Point number one of soul winning is everybody is a sinner. He said, ma'am, I know you're a sinner. But he talked about him paying the price for her and how that it's not worship. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You don't have a spirit till you get saved. Our new sign at our church and this sign out here doesn't say Sunday morning worship. There's no such thing as public worship in the Bible. You don't go to Sunday morning worship. You got Sunday morning church. Yes, sir. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my worship center. Sorry. You're going to church. Worship was yesterday morning about 6:30. I was sitting out next to a fence with my shotgun waiting on a turkey. I was watching the sun come up. Watching the sky break. I was telling God how good he was. And I heard something. I looked over here and about 35, 40 yards away is a deer out there playing around eating. And then hopped the fence and walked behind me and got as close as Brother Joe is walking behind me just looking at me. Just walking by. I had heard a couple gobblers gobbling. I'm telling God how good he is.
I had my mouth call in. I heard way down. I looked up, and there's a bunch of turkeys flying off the roost. One of them hit the ground about 300 yards away. Hit the ground, strutted out there, and he's walking around. I said, thank you, Jesus. Now bring him down to me. I went, dope, 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 and stopped. Just got my gun ready. 25 minutes later, he finally came down. It was a test of my patience. But in the meantime, a hen hopped the fence and came right out in front, between me and him. I got two decoys out here. He's coming this way, and she hops the fence. I thought, oh, brother, here we go. No competition with a live hen. I said, as long as she hangs around here, we're okay. If she goes that way, show's over. That doggone hen, she walked up to me, and she was as close as Weeda is to me right now. She got within 5 feet of me. I could have reached out and poked her with my gun. If I had a bayonet, I could have... And I'm thinking, sister, you're going to have to move soon here. I got a tom at 35 yards. That hen's right there. She was close enough I could hear her going... I mean, I was close. She looked at me and thought, you're not supposed to be sitting there. So she took off and ran about 10 yards and hopped back through the fence. Old Mr. Tom picked his head up and went, I said, that's what I've been waiting for. He's in my freezer now. We took care of business. I'd tote that bird a mile. 22-pound turkey. It was a whopper, let me tell you. I'm holding it over my shoulders, and it's hitting my heels as I'm walking. It's how long that bird was. I mean, it was a big dude. I was happy. Now, wait a minute. I was worshiping God. The turkey messed it up, not me. I was having a good time out there. I promise you, as soon as I pulled the trigger and that thing hit the ground, I hollered, thank you, Jesus. I was walking out. Dada got halfway down the V field and looked up, and there's two more hunters coming in the field next to me. They were walking away. I must have scared everything away. It was great. Now, wait a minute. Worship is telling God how good he is. It's not getting together at church. Jesus took time to talk to an individual. Jesus took time to talk to individuals, not just preach to crowds. Now, let me say this. He gave them the gospel. That's called soul winning. Now, let me hurry. Point number one. You ready? Here we go. Jesus modeled how we are to go soul winning. Jesus modeled how we are to go soul winning. Notice,
Jesus didn't take a survey. He didn't have a piece of paper that's two-sided and have 42 questions on it and say, ma'am, could I take time to give the survey for you and answer all these questions and then go back and put all the papers together and find out which one was most interested to go back and talk to? Everybody doing okay? He didn't just leave a track to her and say, here, read this sometime. I'm done. Now, that's better than nothing, but that's not what Jesus did. He didn't live a lifestyle that people just ran up to him and say, what must I do to be saved? By the way, that statement's only used one time in Scripture, and it's not about somebody getting saved for eternity. It was trying to save their neck. It was the Philippian jailer thinking he was going to die because of the jail he had to take on him, the punishment of all the people that got escaped from jail. Now, a Baptist preacher turned it on him and said, let me show you how to get saved. If you're going to die, you better know for sure you're going to heaven, amen? And that's how that worked. You say, well, then what did Jesus do? He met people where they were at, related to them, so that he could get the gospel to them. He met them where they're at. He related to her, his relation to her was unique.
Just like each and every person here is unique. There are people here, you have different interests. You have different backgrounds. You have different likes and dislikes. There are people in here, you like hunting. There are people in here, you hate hunting. It's okay. I love both of yous. Doesn't bother me. There are people here that drive truck. There are people here that are electricians. There are people here that
are professional people. There's students here. There's professional moms here. You got medical people here. You got Walmart. Amen. You got it all. Now, wait a minute. We have a diversity here. And each person thinks in a different way. Jesus didn't change the gospel, but to relate to her, he used terms and things that she knew and understood. Jesus never talked to people like robots. He met each individual and talked to them as an individual.
I'd rather this than nothing, but I know people, I call it robot soul winning, mechanical. Hello, my name is, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Let me take the Bible and show you how you can know. And they have a script that they
have memorized and they say it. You get them off that script, they have no idea what to say. They haven't taken any time to relate to anybody. Now, their salvation plan is the same as you and I would use. How we get there, whole different story. Whole different story. Well, let's talk about things you know, and let me build some credibility with you. Brother Stoltz, stand up here for a second.
A lost person is a body and a soul, but not a spirit, correct? I have to give them spiritual life, but I can't do it till I reach his soul. My soul has to communicate with his soul so that he wants spiritual life. That's why it's called soul winning. I've got to win him enough to where he'll listen to the gospel to get saved. That's why you take a little bit of time and get to know. I'm not talking 3 hours. I'm not talking 20 minutes. But just a couple minutes. Hello, my name's Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. Do y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? No? All right. And if I walked up and I happened to see a deer decoy in the backyard, I say, you a bow hunter? What kind of bow do you use? And we'll talk hunting for a little bit. I might notice you've got a big 10-point buck on the wall. Say, where'd you get that one? We'll talk a while.
Not long.
We'll talk hunting both sides. I've just earned his respect enough to say, hey, Doc, you said your name was Rich. Let me ask you a question. Rich, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die?
I've just earned his respect enough to give him the gospel. That's what soul winning is.
It's not the plan of salvation. It's keeping the door open long enough so that you can give him the gospel. Everybody understand that? It's, thank you. It's kind of like those, is idiot a bad word? It's like those idiots in the middle of the summer that come around in shorts and flip-flops wanting to sell magazines because they're college students. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I wouldn't give those guys the time of day. The last one last summer came to my house. He said, come on, man. He said, I got one more subscription I got to sell. If he was selling prescriptions, I'd call 911, amen. Depending on what it was. No. he said, I got set. There he stood, hairy legged. Disheveled, flip-flops, rock and roll t-shirt, and he wants me to believe him? I said, dude, you're nuts. I said, you knocked on the wrong door. He said, what do you mean? He said, come on, man, help a poor college student. I said, I paid my college bill. Oh. He said, well, why don't you help me? I said, number one, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. I don't know where you're from, and I don't know what you want. I said, I've knocked on more doors than you've ever seen. Well, who do you think you are? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Reached in my pocket, said, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. He said, uh-oh. I said, yeah. He got out of my yard as fast as he could get out of there. All you heard was flop, 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 flop from his flip-flops. Amen? I tell people this all the time. What would it take to keep your door open for them to talk to you? That's what you're going to have to do to somebody else. I treat people the way I want to be treated. I treat people the way I'd want somebody to treat my wife if they knocked on the door and I'm not home. I'm not going to treat somebody else any differently. And that's what soul winning is all about. Jesus, soul winning is just that. Winning with your personality, the ability to give them the gospel, to give them an opportunity to get saved. But you've got to have enough personality for them to do that. Everybody understand that? All right, number two. I've got to hurry. We're not going to read all these scriptures. Number two, not every person that Jesus talked to got saved. Not every person that Jesus talked to got saved. Let me refer to this. You can write the scripture down or go back later. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Story of Nicodemus. I'm not going to argue with anybody, but you won't find anywhere in John chapter 3 or later in the Gospels where Nicodemus ever did get saved. He may have. I'd like to think he did. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that Nicodemus had faith and got saved. Nowhere. It was explained very clearly to him, and he was there at Calvary and helped with the body of Jesus. I know lost people that do good things, though. Just because he helped there didn't mean he got saved. Nowhere in Scripture does it say. Now, personally, I like to think that he did. I'd like to think that he did, but nowhere does it say that he did. You won't find it. We don't know. You can say, well, I think he did. Okay. But you don't know any more than anybody else because Jesus didn't say it. We know this lady did because Jesus said by her faith. And by her faith, she brought others to him. Now, many of the multitude heard Jesus and they went away from him because they hated him. Matter of fact, he had chosen 70 to follow around with him, and most of those left, and he was left with 12. 58 of the 70 left him. Now, matter of fact, according to Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10, Mark 10, 17 through 22, and Luke 10, 25 through 37, there are people that they heard, but they did not believe. Let's go to Mark chapter 10 real quick. Whew. Mark chapter 10. Let's look at verse number 17 real quickly here. I'm going to read just a few verses here. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus saith unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud ye not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possession.
He gave somebody the gospel, and they rejected it, and they walked away. They were sad about it, too. So I guess being sad about your sin doesn't get you saved.
Luke chapter 10 is very much a similar story. By the way, look at Calvary. How many people rejected him while he was dying for their sin? Not everyone that Jesus talked to got saved. Can I tell you something? When you go soul winning, not everybody you talk to is going to get saved. Not going to happen. I got to hurry. Number three, I'm going to give you some references. I may take one of these and let's go to Luke chapter 19 real quick. Luke chapter 19. This is the story, my favorite story almost when I was a kid, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I like that story because I was a wee little kid, amen? Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. That's not what we call press. It was because of the crowd, because he was of little stature. Oh, amen. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. No kidding. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus wasn't saved because of the good things he did. He said, I'm an honorable man and I've gotten saved. We don't know that this is the point where he got saved, but somewhere in here he got saved. Now look at me. Zacchaeus wasn't saved by doing those things. But he did get saved. And Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus had never met him, but Jesus called him by name. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43 talks about a blind man that Jesus talked to and led to himself, and he got saved. Luke chapter 7, verses 37 through 50, there was a woman with an alabaster box full of ointment who came, and Judas got mad at, but she got saved. Jesus talks about her faith. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, this is your favorite, the maniac of Gadara, the guy that was in the tombs and running around, filled full of devils. Jesus got out of the boat and walked over, talked to him, led him to Christ, and he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind next time the disciples saw him. Matter of fact, he wanted to leave everybody that he had already left and said, let me just stay with you and follow. He said, no, go home to your friends. Go tell them what happened. He said, no, I want to stay. He said, no, you go. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34, you have the woman with the issue of blood. Then Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, you have a person that was sick of palsy that got saved. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. All of these were personal experiences, one-on-one, Jesus with them. I want you to notice, one was at a well. One, he was walking down the street and saw a guy up a tree. One, he went to his house. Others, he was with them in their homes or wherever he was at as he went about. Now, I have just a couple minutes. Let me say this and we'll finish. Not everybody that Jesus healed got saved. Just because he healed them doesn't mean they got saved. Matter of fact, probably most of them didn't get saved. You know the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Do you know why there were so many people following him? Because he had healed people all day long. The more people that got healed, the more people that showed up, the more people showed up they tried to preach to. He ended up having to feed them because they couldn't get rid of them. But it doesn't say how many got saved. Just because somebody got healed doesn't mean they got saved. Mr. Ernest Angley, amen?
In the name of Jesus, be healed. You know, pow, and off they fly. Oh, my gizzard feels better. You know, I don't have any more arthritis in my shoulder.
You know, isn't it amazing? Nothing that is visible ever heals. Stuff you can't see. I have met people who got paid to be performers for those people. Now, Jesus healed people, but not everybody that he healed, and probably, I don't know how high the percent was, because the scripture does not say. But not all of them got saved. People received good from Jesus, But they didn't all get saved.
I have people calling here all the time wanting to receive good from the church. Somebody want me to pay $200 to put their window back together that they broke. Because they were mad at somebody and broke the window. They want the church to pay for it. Well, I didn't break it. God bless you. Well, I need help with my water bill. I need help with my electric bill. It's 3 months behind. I only owe $1,375. Well, I've called every church in town. I can't get any help. What good is the church? I said, well, what good was the electricity? What did you do with it? I said, I didn't incur the bill. I said, nowhere does it say I have to pay your bills. I promise you. We get those calls all the time, don't we, Mrs. Barnes? She said, hang on, preacher's here just a minute. And I don't want her taking those calls necessarily, but we get them. Jesus did good to earn the credibility for people to listen to him to give them the gospel. He wasn't some freak show traveling circus. He went about doing good to earn the credibility to where people like Nicodemus, people like Zacchaeus, people like the nobleman would come and hear what had to be said. They didn't get saved because of the good things that he did or the good things that they did. But Jesus used the good things to try to earn the right to preach the gospel to them. That's why he did the good. On top of the fact, he was earning our righteousness. He was earning our righteousness. Now, listen to this and I'm done. The gospel itself is the standard, and it does not change. How we relate to people and how we earn their respect determines how many people we can get it to. That's what it is. Again, I've led people to the Lord in my camo. But I don't go soul winning in my camo. Did you know I've even led people to the Lord when I've had blue jeans and a casual shirt on? But I don't go soul winning that way. I'm probably going to get in trouble on this one, Brother Stoltz. I don't care. I believe when you go soul winning, you ought to dress right. But I understand you can get people saved if you're not dressed right. But I think, why should we dress like the world to give them a message that's no different? If it didn't change us, why would they want it? They don't want more of what they have. They want something different. So I think we ought to dress the part. I think, fellas, we ought to wear shirt and tie if we can. At least it ought to be clean. I think ladies ought to dress like ladies, and think we ought to take a bath and put some cologne or perfume on, depending on what gender you is. And I think we ought to smell right, look right. I think we ought to represent the Lord right. Say, why? Respect. I don't know how many times I go somewhere and somebody say, are you a preacher or a lawyer? I said, I'm an honest man. I'm a preacher. And I get that a lot. A lot. If I go to the hospital, they all know who I am now. I've been there so many times with everybody. I think the last time I got kidney stones, I walked in, and it was early on a Sunday morning. You remember that day real well. And the lady at the counter, she knew me. She said, Pastor, what you doing here? I said, it's for me this time. She said, what's the matter? I said, I got kidney stones. Hurry up. I had my driver's license out, and she was already for me. She said, go right through there. They'll take care of it. Thank you much. There's people waiting. They bumped me to the front of the line. I don't know why, but I was in enough pain. I didn't care. I wasn't trying to be nice then. Oh, wait a minute. You dress right. The lady taking my vitals, she said, man, people don't get dressed up to come to the emergency room. I said, lady, I've been in my office for a couple hours. I didn't get dressed up to come here. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, I got church this morning, and I got a kidney stone. I got to hurry up here. She said, what time service? I told her, I said, I know. I'm covered if I have to, but I'm going to try. Now, wait a minute.
we ought to dress right and act right because of what we represent. But it's not us that gets them saved. It's the gospel that gets them saved. It's not the messenger. It's the message. It's about whom the message is. That's what Jesus taught us as a soul winner. Did you ever notice he wasn't lifting himself up? He was lifting up the gospel about the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus, the blood that paid for it. And so all we had to do is trust what he did for us. It's not our works. It's what he did for us to get us there. And that's what soul winning is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed.